Welcome to the Northridge Vineyard podcast. We're a real community of people who are passionate about pursuing God and growing in our relationship with Him. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information and other resources, please visit northridge.org.au.
And you lift them up in prayer. You ask God to help you to let that go, right? So you can stop being angry about it, right? Canceling the debt. There we go. That's what I was thinking of. So canceling the debt is what we talked about, asking God to help you out with that, right? We've been going along in this book, Enemies of the Heart. Last week, we dealt with anger. This week, we get to deal with guilt, right? So I call this one Living Out in the Open. Right, now explain that a little bit further as we go on. It's actually based on something that the author Andy had written in this chapter. Right, so who can tell me a little something about guilt? Just right off the bat.
It's painful.
It is painful. It is painful.
Paid for.
It is paid for. Yes. Well, I'm going to just go out there and say painful as well. I'm going to just add that in there. It can be, right? Held on to,
yeah.
Right?
I think it's one of those things that if you just push it down, it doesn't go away. It keeps, popping back.
Exactly, yeah. Right? It never seems to really go away, right? It's always there. And, you know, under certain circumstances, those things can come back and they can haunt you. Right. So even though the reality is, yes, they are paid for, but it doesn't always feel that way. Right. Those things will still come back. Those things will still eat at us. It is the first enemy of the heart. So I wrote down a couple of things. Feel free to write these down if you're into taking notes. Right. Point number one regarding this enemy, right? It is a powerful enemy, right? It will hold you back, it'll stunt your growth, and it will destroy your hope, right? It's something that everybody has, right? Every person, right? Last week we talked about others doing us wrong, right? Things that happen to us, right? But what happens when we do things to other people, right? What happens when we do things towards other people that cause them to feel a certain way about us, right? Everybody in this world has done somebody at some point, rather, wrong. And history and the Bible has shown us that everybody has done God wrong, ultimately, at some point or another, right? The guilt within us shows us that we have violated someone's trust. We may have overstepped certain boundaries. By definition, that makes us what?
Guilty.
Makes us lawbreakers, right? Makes us habitual line steppers, as this comic has said. And so, yeah, depending on the severity of those things that you may have done, the things in your life, things that you may have done towards other people, some things may be easy to shrug off. Some things may be easy to deal with and reconcile, but some things aren't that easy, right? Some things you may feel like, man, I just can't go back. I can't reconcile. It's impossible to. Things are unresolved. And when you have these things that are unresolved, that can also aid to that creeping back of guilt, that conviction that, hey, remember this? Hey, remember that? So, I want to first read this scripture, the section in which we'll be talking about. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 John chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 5. So when you get there, say I'm there. And if you don't have a Bible...
Oh, I didn't bring them up today.
Sorry. Oh, shucks. Well, if you have a phone, you should have an app because it's 2019.
1 John 1:5?
Yep, we're going to start there. All right. Everybody else there?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm reading from the ESV. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him who and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." We're going to continue down to verse 10. Verse 8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Now, I want to put a special emphasis on verse 9, okay? Because in a quick, short bullet point, right, how do you deal with guilt, right? Recognizing that your debt is paid for, right? The first thing you hear when you come to Jesus, you confess your sins, right? You put it out there in the open, right? You go to God, you pray, "Lord, I have sinned. I recognize this, and I recognize your need, or my need for you in my life," right? Have we all done that at one point or another, right? Do we still feel like we have, do we still feel guilty though about certain things? I do.
Yeah.
Put my hand up. Yep. Yep. Ups and downs, right? Moments where I felt straight on fire for the Lord. My life is great, right? My life is going up, right? Then certain things happen in my life, make it go down. Is God still around? He still know who I am? Have I been forgiven? I don't know. I don't feel like it, right? But I want to put a heavy emphasis on that first and foremost, right? Now, the reason why certain things seem to linger is because the simple matter of the fact is they may be undealt with, okay? They may not have necessarily really been put out there in the open. Sure, you may have confessed to God, you may have apologized to Jesus, you know, you may have gone to him secretly or privately and said all these things or confessed all these things. But Andy makes a really important point in the book. He says God wasn't the only party involved and the things that happen in your life, the things that you may have done, right? And I thought that was huge because it's like one of those things you don't really want to have to admit to or deal with, right? The fact of the matter is, you know, when things are going wrong in your life or maybe you've done certain things to, that affect other people, right? You don't take into consideration how that, all the damage that was done for that person, right? Generally, in this Christian context, I've noticed we've only look at what wrong we have done, what laws we have broken as far as God is concerned, what sins we may have committed that he does not like, right? And so, God, please help me get these sins out of my life. Help me so I don't keep sinning against you, right? But what about sinning against each other, right? It reminds me of the days when I had to go to AA as was required for my probation. So I was on probation for about 7 years, as you guys know. Did spend some time in county jail doing all kinds of reckless stuff. And one of those requirements. I was not an alcoholic, but that's just, you have to go to AA or NA as like showing that, okay, you are actively changing your life. You're not going to get any violations. You're not going to go back to jail. So going to AA, you learn a few things, right? They have what is called the 12 steps, right? And as part of those 12 steps, you have to actively be doing those 12 steps. And guess what? I have four of them here I want to share with you. I have four of them here I want to share with you that sort of parallel 1 John 1:5-10. First of all, step one, you have to admit that you're powerless over alcohol or your addiction or whatever anonymous group you are a part of, and that your life has become unmanageable. Sounds familiar. When you become a Christian, you have to admit that your life is not your own, that your life has become out of control, and that you need Jesus to deliver you and save you from this, from yourself, essentially, right? Step number five, you have to admit to God, you have to admit to yourself and to another human being the exact nature of your wrongdoing. Once again, sounds kind of familiar, right? Recognize you're a sinner. I'm a sinner in need of deliverance, right? Number eight, here's where things get a little tricky. You have to make a list of all persons you harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Who in here has wronged somebody? Have you ever gone to that person and said, hey, such and such, I wronged you in the past, and I just want to say I'm sorry, and I want to, you know, I don't care what it is, you know, tell me what I can do to make that right. Has anybody ever done that? Yeah, sometimes, right? And there's probably good reason for that, right? There's probably good reason. I'll share a story. When I got arrested, I had tried to get away from the police, speeding out of a grocery store driveway, hit somebody's car, and that person whose car I hit, I was just at that guy's brother's funeral months before. So I knew who this guy was. And surprisingly, this guy did not want to press charges, even though he saw who it was who hit his car. So guess what I did? Months and months after this whole ordeal, he happened to show up at my wife's parents' house. And at that time, I was a completely changed person. And it was awkward, as you don't want to know. But I stepped to that man and I said, you know what? I know you didn't want to press any charges, and I know that, you know, you this whole thing is behind you, but I just want to let you know I am really sorry for hitting your car and, you know, not really caring at the time about it, right? It's a really awkward and tough thing to do, especially when you're like, man, I hope I don't ever see that person ever again in life. In life, you know, no telling how he's going to feel about it, you know. Step number nine, making that list, right? And then number nine, you have to make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so will injure them or others, right? So, of course, you got to use some wisdom when you're thinking about things that have gone awry, things that you may have done to other people, how that would affect them. And just use some wisdom.
So come on, can you tell us the end of the story?
The end of that story? Yeah. Oh, they forgave. Oh, yeah, it was not, yeah, there was no, you know, they really appreciated, you know, they really appreciated me manning up and, you know, stepping to them and actually saying that to them, because this is the thing about guilt. You really feel that guilt when you're trying to hold these things inside. You recognize that those things are there. You recognize that those flaws are there, right? And it's easy to go to God in secret and say, I did this, this, and that. You know what I'm saying? Because God's not necessarily going to talk back, you know what I'm saying? And we have the scripture. The scripture tells us that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sin, right? If we go to him and to confess them. People aren't that way. Not necessarily. People ain't faithful and just to forgive you your sin. You know what I'm saying? Especially if, just like we discussed with anger, when we're angry with people, we feel like they've taken something from us, right? Well, it's the same thing, right? When we do people wrong, when we take from people, when we exact things towards them that they don't deserve, they feel like we're taking something from them. And so it's kind of hard, right, when you're thieving from somebody to go to them and be like, you know what, Sarah, sorry, I took this from you. Claire, you know that, I said some things about you behind your back, you know, and people look at you differently now. Sorry. Wish I could give you your reputation back, but yeah. And it was malicious at the time, but I'm sorry now. It's hard, right? It's hard to do stuff like that. However, Andy makes this perfect point in the book about living out in the open. Let me just pull up one of those quotes. What did he say? He said, y'all give me one second. Here we go. Confronting guilt. It's the first sentence in chapter 12. Confronting guilt. He says, secrets lose their power when exposed to light. The light that exposes our secrets and frees the light that exposes our secrets and frees the heart from the oppressive power of guilt is confession. So putting these things out in the light, right? As we also read in 1 John chapter 1, when we put these things out in the light, then there's a certain freedom that can happen. And it may not feel the most comfortable, right? But just like at that situation with the guy whose car I hit, right? After I put it out there in the open, I felt free. I felt like this was one less thing I had to, like, worry about. I even had to, you know, think about none of that. You know what I'm saying? Really, I didn't even think about that till like sitting down, jotting down these notes. You know what I'm saying? Many things like that. There are other things. There's, for a long time, I held a lot of ill will against my dad, right? Because my dad had a really tough upbringing, and he used to, you know, always remind me and my sister of that anytime we get in trouble or we'd be. Anytime he had the chance, he would be quick to remind me of these things. And it would really break my heart. I'd go out, I'd do all kinds of reckless things. I'd break his heart and just be this endless cycle, right? So for a long time, I wouldn't talk to my dad. And I remember specifically, because I had been getting in so much trouble with the law, right? At some point, he actually lost his job because when I was kind of like on house arrest, he couldn't go to the office. He had to work from home. And his a little sidebar, his boss didn't really like him all that much, and so he was kind of looking for any reason to let him go. But aside from that, if I hadn't been doing the things I was doing, he wouldn't have been put in that position to have to work from home and to, you know, eventually be let go from his job. Years and years and years and years later, we patch things up, and I go to him. I say, Dad, you know what? We haven't had the best relationship. Like, this was my 30th birthday, and I took him out to dinner. And I sent him down. You know, he said his apologies. I said mine. And I was specific because one of the things that I learned in AA, right, in NA, was you have to. You can't just be like, well, I'm sorry, right? Sorry for what, right? Dad, you lost your job because I was inconsiderate. I was out doing what I wanted to do. I was out doing what I felt. I didn't consider how my actions were going to affect you, affect Mom, and I certainly didn't think you would actually lose your job over this type of thing. felt liberated. He said, son, don't worry about it. You were a kid. And when you're a kid, your brain's not all that developed. which is true. Scientists know that now, before the age of 27, the adult male's brain is not adult. still developing. So, getting back on point. When we look at sin, we may look at the behavior itself as offensive. I've learned that it's not so much the behavior itself as it is the intentions of the heart behind it. And this is why you got to be specific with these things. And this is why it's not good enough to, it's not enough alone to just confess to God. You also have to go to the people in your life that you have done wrong, and you've got to apologize to them. Right, you got to seek reconciliation with them. Right, one. If you listen to my music, 1 John 1:9 has been quoted many a times by me. So,
available on Spotify.
Yes, available on Spotify, Apple Music, any other streaming service. Give a listen. The power we have to take away from guilt lies in the confession, admission of guilt, and putting it out there. Hence the name, Living Out in the Open. Right, so this is how we battle a guilty heart. Once again, if you're into taking notes, step one, confess your wrongdoings, right? Let's say you make confession. Got through that. Step number two, make reconciliation with the people involved. Jesus gave us the blueprint on how to deal with these things we discussed so far. He lived it, and because he had done it, he has promised to do it in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, it's not easy to go to people and say, boom, I did this, this, and that. It's not easy at all, right? But you don't have to do it alone, right? What else did Jesus say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Told his disciples that. I think it still holds true for us today, right? We're disciples, right? Are we?
Yep.
Yeah. this isn't an overnight thing. One huge lesson that I have been learning over the past few years, right, and just continuing as I've been living out here, is that sanctification is a lifetime process, okay? Like, you're not going to get to a point today where you 100% got it. You know what I'm saying? You don't get saved. You don't become a Christian, and all of a sudden you've arrived somewhere. You don't all of a sudden become holy in the sense of you're not going to make mistakes. You're not going to bump your head. You're not going to err. You're not going to, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to trip over, say something, do something, behave in a certain way, right? That, you know, may offend somebody. You know what I mean? It is a lifetime process. It is something that we are gradually growing towards. Right, and guess what? It ain't because of anything good in you, right? It's because of a righteousness that's been given to us, right? Freely given to us. We're being made like Jesus, made like him by a power outside ourselves, the power of the Holy Spirit, right? So, leaving you guys with this, the way that we do battle with a guilty heart, we confess those sins, confess them to God. Then step two, go to our friends, go to our family members, go to whoever it is, right? And seek reconciliation with them as well, right? And as we learned in AA, right? If it doesn't cause you or that other person harm. But yeah, Yeah. So we'll just go ahead, play this out. Lord Jesus, we just come before you thanking you for the things that you've promised to us. We thank you that we can deal with this issue by recognizing that you've promised to forgive us if we confess these things. And you've also showed us in your Son that we can be reconciled, that we can be reconciled. We can make reconciliation with others. We can go to them, and we can also we can tell them, express to them how we feel, how we understand that we may have offended them, we have done something against them. Even if they don't forgive us, we know that you, Lord, you forgive us, and that you've given us freedom in putting these things out there. We thank you. Your word also says that if our conscience condemns us, you don't condemn us. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that everything has been paid for by you on the cross. We give all these things to you. I pray for each and every person here as they go forth in this next week, living that that guilt-free life. I pray that they will be strengthened. I pray that as they are exercising their releasing their anger to you, that they will be successful. Thank you. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.